All right. Well, why don't we open this session with a little prayer? Father, I thank you that you hear us and that you are present. And we ask you and depend upon you, Holy Spirit, to take things that come to us from the mouth of a man and to hear your voice. Holy Spirit, unlock the treasures that are in the heart of God into our hearts. Give us the wisdom and the grace to steward them so that everything that's on your heart for us, we might receive and manifest for the sake of your name among the nations. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. So let me just kind of put a few amens on what Daniel was saying, and then I'm gonna build upon the foundation that he was talking about. It is awesome to know that you are legally your parents' child. I have gone through adoption from about two or three different angles. And, you know, just recently my son forwarded to me on Facebook a video of a family that had a box and a young, maybe 10 or 11-year-old girl, and they were filming. And two parents were on the side, and they had her open the box and had her read it aloud and said, "Congratulations, we want you to know that we would like to adopt you." And she's reading it, and she just starts crying, you know, and then the mom starts crying, and, you know, it's just the way it goes. And you're like, see, they had a relationship, but now they're making it legal, but they're making the legal transactions, which are absolutely necessary, because they want to preserve, protect, define the emotional, personal relationship. They want that to be uninterruptible by any law. They want the whole state, they want all of the law of the kingdom to be on their side, that no one else can lay claim to you no matter what. Do you see? And so it's really good to know that at the foundations of all of this, it does not matter how we feel. It does not matter what you think. What matters is the truth of who you truly are, that you have been born again, that you are legally God's. But it's one thing to be legally God's, and it's another thing to walk in all of the fullness and the goodness of the Father's heart and to experience the relationship. And so those two need to be kept in balance and in intention. So it's something that's important. So I want to talk about some of the challenges that come from experiencing our identity in Christ. I mean, nobody in here, I think, after listening to Daniel's talk, is going to say, well, I don't have an identity in Christ. You know, if you're here and you're of the ilk that has been taught to say, I'm just a sinner saved by grace, well, I have good news for you. You were, while you were yet a sinner, Christ died for you. Amen? To save you. But once he saved you from what you were. Now you weren't what you were. Now you aren't what you were. Now he made you something else. The old is gone. The sinner got crucified. Praise God. Amen? Now you are a saint. You are a holy one. You have been brought into union with God through Jesus Christ our Lord. God has made you right with him. He's made you a son. He's changed your very nature. He's made you righteous. He declares you to be fully righteous, but then he put a right spirit inside of you. He put a right heart inside of you. He changed the very spiritual DNA on the insides. I mean, one thing that's cool about adoption is you can make a child legally yours, but you cannot change their DNA. can you? You cannot make them biologically yours. God can make us biologically his. He puts his very life, he makes us partakers of the divine nature. Amen? So it's really cool. You receive a life that you weren't born with. You didn't get this life from your mom or your dad. You got this life by receiving the Lord Jesus Christ. And his supernatural life becomes fused together with your human spirit. And God made you alive, not like Frankenstein made you alive with electricity. He made you alive. How? Together with Christ. He made Christ your life. Colossians 3:4. When Christ, who is your life, is revealed, then you will be revealed with him in glory. And so one of the big challenges in the whole, once you that come against the identity in Christ, our union with Christ, is first just getting the revelation that this is the real deal, because so many people are preaching an incomplete gospel that's basically forgiveness. Congratulations, you get forgiven because you believe in Jesus, but you get more than forgiven, don't you? I mean, I was stinking up the world before I became a believer. Then I got saved and I believed in Jesus Christ. And some things about my life instantly changed. I stopped sleeping with women. I stopped drinking. I stopped smoking dope. I stopped smoking cigarettes. And I didn't do that because I was trying to earn salvation or forgiveness with God. I did that because I realized I couldn't earn it, and that God wanted a relationship with me and forgave me and gave me a relationship. And I thought, that's cool, I get a relationship. And now I had a heart that loved God. I had a heart that I didn't need those things to be happy and peaceful and fulfilled. I found what I was chasing. Amen. And it's so much better. It's pure. It's life-giving. But then after about 6 months of just living off of the joy of being forgiven, you know, I started getting around Christians who were teaching me all these things that I wasn't doing right and that I still needed to change. And I read them in the Word. I could see, oh my gosh, I have to change that, and I have to change that, and I have to change that. They never told me that what you need to do, the way that we change as Christians, is by manifesting what's inside of you. You have already been changed. We've got to start with that. Amen? That you have been created already in the image and likeness and holiness of God. Now we're simply putting on us what God put in us. We're manifesting who we are. We're putting off what we were apart from Christ and putting on what we are. And if you get this kind of teaching, one of the things that's going to happen that interrupts us walking in the experience of Jesus Christ, it comes out in Paul's teaching, especially in the book of Galatians. He said, you started well. You started well. Who's bewitched you that now you're abandoning Jesus so that you can use him as a good start, but now to try to run the rest of your race, you're trying to figure out how you can get circumcised and put a beanie on your head and stop eating bacon and you do the ceremonies of Israel and you know, all this stuff. And he's like, good luck with that. Good luck with that. We've not been able to do it for a couple thousand years now. Now, here's the interesting thing with that. It's not that that thing wasn't, those laws weren't given by God, were they? They were. However, they were given as a type and a shadow. And here's the one thing that will keep Christians from walking out the fullness of Jesus on a consistent basis is we keep chasing shadows. We keep adding things. We have not just Jesus as our all in all, but we have Jesus as our starting place. And then we end up trying to add other things. Okay, we get Jesus as forgiveness, but we don't get Jesus as our righteousness, as our life, as our spirit, as the spirit that lives within us. And so as a result, we have devotion to Jesus plus our denomination, plus our this, plus our heritage, plus our traditions. And that's exactly what they were fighting over. Listen, Paul, you cannot abandon all these traditions. Our traditions are from God. He's a man pleaser. He didn't tell you, you need to have your little snipped and you need to stop eating this and that kind of thing. He didn't even come from Jerusalem. And so they had all these reasons. Our problem is we don't recognize what we do as shadows, because we grew up in the shadows. We grew up in the culture of churchianity, and we need to make a distinction between that which came from Jesus, that which came from heaven, and that which has come through our heritage, through our traditions, through our habits. Now, here's the interesting thing. That doesn't, every group of believers is going to have a culture and going to have some traditions, going to have some habits. You can't do it. But what we need to recognize is that, listen, circumcision and uncircumcision mean absolutely nothing to God, but what matters is the new creation. Amen? We need to recognize what truly matters. What truly matters is not the traditions and the outside behavior patterns when it comes to, you know, that the stuff that we tend to do. So my encouragement is this: fix your eyes on Jesus. A lot of times people are like, oh, we just need to get back and we need to be like the Acts chapter 2 church. Well, the Acts chapter 2 church eventually became, I think, the Acts chapter 19 church. That was the same people who, when Paul shows up in Jerusalem, the James and the elders there, they're freaking out saying, okay, you know, we're sort of glad you're here. We're really excited about what we hear God doing in your life. But there are many believers here in Jesus that are zealous for the law. See, that they were expressing their faith in Jesus as a zealousness for their way of living it out, their way of traditions. And so listen, you need to conform yourself to this or they might kill you. And sure enough, Paul did his best to become like a Jew to the Jews, didn't he? How many of you have received a message like this and all of a sudden you realize, wait a second, you know, maybe you're in conflict with some of the things that your church or that your leadership has expected you to do, and it brings you into conflict. Jesus and religion are not on the same team. Jesus has on one color jersey, and the religious people have another color jersey on. It was the religious people that thought they knew the Bible that crucified the very Son of God. And so we need to recognize that religion and Jesus, they're not playing on the same team. We need to follow Jesus and keep our eyes fixed on him, because religion is always putting expectations and putting pressure and putting guilt and trying to teach human traditions as the doctrines of God. And Jesus over and over is like, listen, you're teaching human traditions as doctrines of God. That's a problem. Because eventually it comes into conflict. Now, there's a lot of areas where there's not a necessary conflict. But here's the thing that we need to understand. Before there's Galatians 2:20, there's something else. Anybody know what it is? If you know Greek, you'll know it. Galatians 2:19. Galatians 2:19 comes before Galatians 2:20. Galatians 2:19 says this: for through the law I died to law, so that I might live to God. Galatians 2:20 is an explanation for why Paul never brought all of the laws of the Old Testament, didn't bring the traditions of the elders, didn't bring any of that stuff into the gospel that he preached. He said, look, through law I died to, and it doesn't, in the Greek, it does not say I died to the law, I died to law. I do not live a law-based life. I do not live unto law. I don't have a relationship with the rules of God. I've been crucified with Christ. And so that part of me that was always trying to achieve and to earn and to prove myself and to get a hold and to try to control and manipulate God by earning things, guess what? That me got crucified 2,000 years ago. And now I don't live by law, I live by Christ. Christ lives in me. Christ lives in me. I live by his faith. Amen? He loved me. So I live. What governs me is not a bunch of rules. What governs me is another person. I have a relationship. The relationship governs me. His spirit governs me. A faith, what I see in him, what I believe in him, that governs me. The Spirit of God governs me. Amen? And there's no law against love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. That's what God put in me. Amen? And I'm not trying to earn it. I'm just learning to manifest it. I'm learning how to partake of it. Amen? So that would be the first thing. One is get the revelation. Two, stop chasing shadows. Stop adding. And here, be careful. Believing Jesus, we need Jesus plus, and sometimes they're not religious additions. They're worldly additions. I'm going to believe God so I can get my joy and my jollies off of this thing, right? I'm going to fix that and get that. And so that came about really badly in the prosperity movement where, and listen, I believe in kingdom prosperity, but that's different than the way that it first came out amongst all the televangelists. You know, you just need to, God wants you to have a nicer car. Forget just, you know, a Honda or a Toyota or a Civic or something like that. You need a Jaguar, you know. And if you want a Jaguar, you need to have Jaguar faith, and you need to sow a Jaguar seed into my ministry, right? Because my ministry is the Jaguar seed soil, you know. I mean, I'm like, right? But why did people go after that? Because Jesus wasn't enough. Why is it that pastors started trying to get people to come into their church by having wrestling matches? Because Jesus wasn't enough. Why is it that we had to do all these ridiculous things? Because we're not equipping people to walk in the fullness of what they have. Because when people see Jesus in you, then they're like, give me that. I want what you've got. You have peace. You have joy. You have love. You have something. And it's coming out of you. And I want that. And like, yeah, you were created for that. And so that is just, be careful that you're not chasing shadows. Amen? Get the revelation that you have been given the same spirit and same relationship with God that Jesus has. He is your spirit. Stop chasing shadows. And then three, enter into the experience. Don't let it be merely theoretical. Don't substitute a knowledge of biblical principles about identity in Christ. Don't let that substitute for walking in the experience of the power of the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ. I remember I came back from Turkey and I told God, I am so sick of having Paul's theology of the Holy Spirit, but not his experience. And he's like, okay, I can work with that. See, before, Jesus said this. Remember, he said, be careful that the light that's in you is not darkness. In 1 Corinthians chapter 8, he says this. Let me see. I got a flip here. It's not one that I always keep on my mind. He says this. We know that all of us possess knowledge. This knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. If anyone imagines that he knows something, he does not yet know as he ought. So he's like, great, you're coming at me with, hey, Paul, we know this and we know that and we know that. Great, you guys aren't loving one another. Here's the problem. First of all, let's get all you people who know so much out of the way, because it's keeping you from being able to listen so that you humble your hearts and enter into what the gospel really has for you. If anyone imagines that he knows anything, he does not yet know as he ought to know. See, it's not what we know. It's, are we knowing God the way he wants us to know him? You can know all kinds of Bible verses and facts, but listen, if you're not being transformed into the life of Christ, if Christ's life isn't the life that you're participating in, and if it's not his life that's coming out from you, maybe the problem is you know so much. Maybe the problem is, I just had something really interesting happen. It's never happened to me, but some people from one place, I won't even say, it was another place in Canada, they invited me to come and to minister at a conference. And just before I got up to speak, the lady who had reached out to me to sort of help set everything up, she said to me, okay, I'm looking at everybody who's here. Everybody who's here has been part of our group for some years, so we all already know our identity in Christ. You don't have to cover any of that. You can move on to other things. And I said, okay, great. But would it be okay with you? My experience has shown me that a lot of people think they know this stuff, but there's a lot of parts to this that oftentimes we're missing. And so even if it's review, that's my plan, is to cover that tonight. We got done with that night and she said, oh my gosh, I so needed to hear this. There was so much more. Because here's what happens, is that we sometimes begin to compartmentalize things. We're so prone to apply our identity in Christ specifically for healing, or specifically for finances, or specifically for prayer. But what about the rest? You know, and so we may have learned how to leverage that, but here's the question. Are you experiencing entering in to the Father's presence in Christ? Letting the love that the Father has been pouring out upon his Son for all eternity, and you step into that waterfall and just let him love you with the very same love that he has given to Jesus for all eternity. And you don't have to earn it, because he sees you the same way he sees the Son. He's made you one on the insides. And on the insides, he's given you the same spirit. It's not hard. He looks inside your spirit. He says, oh my gosh, Christ is their life. And when Christ is revealed, everybody's going to see how glorious they are. Who, Jesus or us? Yes. He doesn't have different glory. That says, he said in John 17, Father, the glory that you have given to me. So the Father and the Son have the same glory. I give to them. Is Jesus glorious now? Yeah. Who's more glorious? Wow, we partake of his glory. That's not blasphemous. Romans 8, Paul said this, right? This is not my idea. I preached the word. Romans 8, 29. Those God foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of who? Christ. That's your destiny set before the foundations of the world. Those that he predestined, he also called. And those he called, he justified. Right? That's the legal stuff. And those that he justified, he one day in the future, in the sweet by and by, eventually is going to glorify. That's not what it says. Those he justified. He has, past tense, done deal, made you stinking awesome and glorious. And you're just going to have to get over it. He sees you that way. And one day every eye will see, even when you don't get it now. But praise God, just like Jesus had to, in his humanity, receive revelation from the Father of who he was in the eternal realms and live through that and walk through that. See, so I'm just sharing with you what the Father has shared with me. It's not hard to be an amazing person when you have amazing parents. And you may have gotten a raw deal. Maybe you had Adolf Hitler and Martha Stewart as a mom. I don't know, you know. I don't know why I just picked Martha Stewart. She just seems like she'd be a hard mom to have. She's really perfectionistic. I don't think I could handle it. I'd be really artsy-fartsy, I guess. I don't know. I'd probably have my shirt tucked in or my zipper. Yeah, it's up. Okay, we're good. Sorry, I'm from America, so, you know, we're okay with that. Now, I pushed it a little bit there, too. Listen, I'm not here with my wife, and I have preached 3 times and gotten done with my entire message and felt a little gust of wind and realized my wife wasn't around to say, hey, honey, you need to, before you get up there, right? Behind every man of God is a woman of God reminding him to zip his fly up before he gets up to the front. So anyway, it is not good for man to be alone. Listen, you may have had a lot of things that were sown into you through a rough home life, and psychology has taught you that because that's what started your story, that that's going to have an impact, that that's going to rule and have authority over the rest of your life, right? Oprah Winfrey's gospel, congratulations, you know. Here's what you need to understand is your story started way before you ever were born. And you've been loved a lot longer than you were ever rejected and abused. And all of those things that came from your fleshly parents that should have never come into you, they got sown into them from somebody else. And they were just pouring into you because that's all they had. Do you understand that? They can't give you what they don't have. The heart only speaks. The mouth only speaks out of what fills the heart. And sometimes they can't give you love. They can't. But here's the awesome thing. When we learn to detach our hearts from this world and the way that people treat us, and to plug our hearts in to the Father, not according to what you think you deserve and expect. Don't be like the prodigal son dictating to the Father what you're worthy of. Oh, Father, just take me back. I'm not worthy. You can't love me like nothing ever happened. You can't love me that way. You cannot call me a son. I'm not worthy. I've sinned against heaven. I've sinned against you. Just take me back. I'll do what you say. And I'll earn my keep in your house by doing what you say. Father says, nope, that's not going to work for me. That's not going to work for me. I don't want you here working for me. I don't want you here working for our relationship. You do not get to tell me how I get to treat you, how I get to bless you, how I get to feel about you. Bring the best robe, put it on my son. Shoes for his feet. And by the way, just so that you get used to this, we ain't working for a while. We're going to have a feast. And I want all of you guys just to get used to me honoring the Son and you entering in to my joy over my Son. Here's what I want to ask you. How much time are you spending at the Father's table allowing Him to enjoy and honor and bless you, to speak over you, to allow him to treat you as the guest of honor, the source of joy. He enjoys you as much as he enjoys Jesus. He welcomes you as much as he welcomes Jesus. You are as welcome there as Jesus is. Why? Because Jesus has earned your welcome. You are partaking of the Father's love for the Son. But let me ask you this. Are you partaking? Galatians 4:6, he says, because you are sons. See, Paul's fighting for first the revelation that can't be changed. But then he says, because you are sons, God sent forth the Spirit of his sons into our hearts. Doing what? Crying, Abba, Father. And so there's an experience for us to enter into. But the Spirit is in this place called Son. And you've got to start there. You can't earn your way into there. You've got to start there because the Spirit of God is not going to help you earn. He's not going to help you do the slave thing to earn your place in the Father's house. He's running to embrace you, to help you hear the Father's voice. The best robe is on you. The feast is for you. Do you understand? And so let me ask you, how much time are you giving God to pour his love, to activate that faith in you? Because here's what I often was doing, is I was trying to get God's presence to come down. I was trying to sort of reach up through heaven. But there's something amazing. God put the Spirit of his Son into us. You may feel distant from the presence of God. And this is what Daniel was talking about earlier. It's not about our feelings. You're close to God. But how good is it to be close to God but not be able to actually enjoy the closeness, right? So he actually moved inside of you. And there is a fire that is blazing, that has been blazing for all eternity, of love between the Father and the Son. And maybe you've gotten to feel dry. Guess what? Just hold the sponge of your heart down into the river. And let the river flow through it. It's got its own current, its own power. The Spirit of the Son knows what it is to trust the Father and to be fully welcomed and fully loved and fully embraced. But there's a challenge. And the challenge is this. Here's another challenge, right? We tend to work from the problem and identify get our identity from the problem and work from the problem to conclude the negative. Here's what I mean by that. Well, I know that Jesus has purchased my healing, and so there's something in my body that still isn't fixed. So, therefore, I must have done something wrong, that something wrong with me, something wrong with my faith, something wrong with my walk. Or worse than that, you even know there's stuff that you did wrong. Gosh, I should have turned the channel when I saw that scene starting to unfold, but I just kind of coasted through it and I lusted. And I knew it was wrong. Holy Spirit was like, you know why? The most miserable person on the face of this planet are not unbelievers. They are believers trying to live in sin or legalism. Those are the most miserable people on the face of the planet. You know why? Because you used to be able to enjoy sin, and now you can't anymore because God's given you a new heart. And the Holy Spirit won't leave you. He won't forsake you. He will just stay in you, and he will be grieved. But he is connected to you now. And so now you have almighty grief pouring through you. But I want you to understand there's a remedy for this. Because the Spirit of the Son is in you, leading you. You know, you used to be like a brick or a sponge. You throw a brick in a pool, it's its nature to sink. It's a sponge's nature just to absorb it. But now you're a beach ball. You contain air from another realm. Amen? And so even though there's the opportunity to sin in this world, the sin's on the outside, it's not on the inside. Amen? Now, if you can hold a beach ball underwater, but everything in it's going, oh, life is that way. It's your nature now. It used to be your nature to sin. You enjoyed it. Admit it. Amen? Wasn't hard. I just got up and be myself today. I didn't, get up saying, I will sin. I will break the laws of God. That wasn't my vision of life. I just got up and just lived out of the nature that I received from my mom and dad. But you know what? After you receive the nature of God, your heart has changed. And it's not enough for you to merely be forgiven. You want to live out what he's put inside of you. And first and foremost, that is found in personal fellowship with God, because that's where the Son has always been. He never leaves that place. But if we stumble, if we sin, there's a part of us that is not partaking of that. There's a part of us that is still in union with God that will not allow us to plunge headlong. That's why it says in 1 John chapter 3, I think it's verse 9, that says those who are born of God cannot practice sin, cannot live in it. It can't be something that you're like, I want to practice this, right? I want to get better at this. This is something like now you can't enjoy. That was what changed in me. It was like, I used to enjoy porn. Now I can't stand it. I used to enjoy getting drunk. Now I don't even want to drink a drop. I used to enjoy getting high. Now I don't even think about that. I'm high. I'm seated with Christ. Can't get higher than that. Do you understand? But what if you get tempted? What if you stumble? That's not your identity, and it will never change your nature. Here's the thing. You can't let the mistakes on the outside become your identity on the inside. There's still air in that beach ball, and it's leading you right back into the presence of God. By the Spirit of God, we put to death the misdeeds of the body. Amen? And that's good news to know that there is nothing that can separate you from the love of God. However, we want to walk in that love. We don't want just the Father loving us and us having our backs turned to Him. Here's another thing that will help you, I think some of you. How many of you have ever been tempted, and in the face of temptation, this little voice comes, well, you might as well just go ahead and succumb to it, but Jesus will forgive you. When it's over, you sort of hear that thing. It's like, or just here's what I want you to understand, okay? This will help you. First of all, you are free. It's not your nature. You will never be able to enjoy that thing again. There's a passing pleasure, but in the end, it leads to what? Death. Amen? There's fullness of joy, purity of joy in the presence of God. So here's what I want you to understand. Is even though those things have been done once for all, Jesus, it says in Hebrews, that he offered himself by the eternal Spirit unto God. That same Spirit lives inside of you. Amen? God is outside of time and outside of space. He's already Omega. He's been Alpha from before the foundations of the world. He's already revealed to John the new Jerusalem coming out of heaven. He revealed to John every tribe, tongue, and nation already worshiping him. So we're in the river as a water droplet. He is the river. He's the whole thing. He's already flowed out into the oceans and stuff. I don't understand that, but somehow God is not trapped in time. Here's what you need to understand. That Spirit in you, that you have a choice of whether you're going to grieve or not, that grief is resolved at the cross. The things we do now impact our Lord's experience then. I don't know how to explain it any different than that. I know that blows our minds, but that's just the truth of it. And so why would we want to crucify unto ourselves all over again the Son of God? Amen? He set us free. Free indeed. So there should be a sobriety that comes over our lives. Not out of fear, but out of love. Amen? not out of trying to earn our place in the house, but out of love for the Father who's welcomed us home and the older brother that's purchased our forgiveness and our pardon. Amen. So that's why it says, if we think we know something, we don't know yet how we ought to know, but if anyone loves God, he is known by God. See, it's not about us knowing our identity in Christ that way. If you hearing these things isn't awakening a love in your heart for the Father, we want to live in that place, that heart of the Son pouring through our heart. Live in that place of receiving the Father's love for the Son into our heart to transform us, to change us. Let's not be mindful Christians that we just got a brain full of Bible truth and our lives look like hell. God wants us to have minds full of Bible truth, but full of love. It humbles our hearts. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul. Don't just know, I know that. You know, I mean, when my wife calls me, I don't look at the phone and say, that's my wife. I already know her. And don't answer. See, we enter into a relationship and our knowledge of the person that we're in a relationship with grows. You know, I knew my wife when I married her. That's why I married her. But every day is a new adventure. Every day is a new set of hormones. You know, and you go through all these different circumstances, but you go through these circumstances together. And thank God, he's with us when every day it's a new set of hormones, because we don't live by hormones, we live by the Spirit. Amen? So, but here, do you understand that our relationship with God grows? So he doesn't, we shouldn't have to struggle our whole life just to get this revelation. Paul gave people this revelation as a foundation, and then their challenge was not trying to learn more. It was to live out and live in the experience and the fullness of the truth they have received. It was learn by doing. It was know by loving. And let me ask you, have you let the Spirit of the Son of God open up your heart to cry to the Father, Abba, Daddy, I love you. Thank you for receiving me. Now, a lot of times, guys, I just want to let you know, that is not becoming, having an emotionally based relationship with God. That is entering into the Spirit and letting the Spirit totally grip your heart. Because I'm telling you this, your life is following your heart. And if your heart is cold towards God, you might be dragging your body into the church, but God sees. You know what? They draw near to me with their words. I don't want their words. Their hearts are so far from me. He put his Spirit, the Spirit of the Son, in our hearts because he wants us to know what it is to have the love of God poured into us and poured through us, to be connected face to face, heart to heart, spirit to spirit with the living God. It's what we were created for. All right. So, revelation is the starting point for transformation. It's not the end all be all. And like Daniel said earlier, we can get addicted to learning more, learning more, learning more, learning more, instead of really living out and living in the truth of what we've said. So when I opened my Bible, when I first came to know Christ, a lot of this was revelation, which was cool. But it was kind of like, okay, God, teach me something new, because it was all new. But after a while, stuff isn't new anymore. And so now it's like, Lord, write this into my life. Let me live out, let me become a manifestation of these realities. And I don't start with let me become that. I really start with thank you that you are that in me. Thank you that that's who I am already. That's my very nature. But I want to so stir that up and enter into that finished work that I now clothe myself with it, that others can see it. Amen? So, all right. We have a tendency to be held back by limitation and compartmentalization. One of the most common things amongst charismatics is that we don't walk like Jesus because that's not my gift. Right? We get our identity from our spiritual gift. Oh no, I don't go out on the streets and talk to people. I'm an introvert. Yeah, what Bible verse is that? You know? Oh, I don't talk to people. I'm an intercessor. Really? What Bible verse is that? Oh, I don't heal people. That's not my gift. I'm a prophet. Okay, wait a second. Now we're talking in biblical terms, but wait a second. Paul, look at it again. He says, there are many manifestations of the same Spirit. Right? Amen? So they had made the mistake of thinking that every spiritual gift is a different spirit. Oh, brother, you've got the spirit of healing. Can you come over here? And so they're thinking, he's got something different than what I got. Now, we know better than to say you have a different spirit. We just say you have a different anointing. So we switched the words around, making the same stupid mistake. We have Jesus Christ, the anointed one, living inside of us. We have the same spirit. Now, there are different manifestations of the same spirit, which is a good thing. And in the body, we ought to see the fullness of Christ come forth. And some people will be better at some areas than others. But here's the cool thing. Paul wasn't saying, figure out what you can do and then stay in your lane. What he was saying was, you have the same spirit. Don't compete with each other. Don't get jealous. If you have the same spirit and see something operating in somebody else that you don't have, you pursue it so that you can build others up also, because it's already in you. Well, Andy, what about the end of 1 Corinthians where he says, not all are apostles, not all are prophets, not all are healers, not all speak in tongues, not all are this or that. Read the context. He starts off, he says, now in the assembly, God has appointed first of all apostles, prophets, teachers, and then we got everybody else. And in that context of coming together as a body, everybody doesn't do the same thing. Not everybody's going to heal. Not everybody's going to speak in tongues or interpret or prophesy in the same meeting. Everybody's not going to do the same thing. That's not how bodies operate. So he's not telling, he never says, there's some people who can't. There's some people who can't. He never says can't. There's a difference between can't and don't. Right? I don't drive my car off the road. It's not because I can't. I just don't. Amen? I don't light my hair on fire. I have hair over here. It's not because I can't. I have hair. I saw that. Rebuke that in the name of Jesus. I don't receive that. It's not because I can't. It's because I don't. Do you understand the difference between can't and don't? Don't limit yourself. Here's what I want to close with. Jesus says this. He said in Luke chapter 6, verse 40, he said, when a disciple is fully trained, he will be just like his master. In Ephesians chapter 4, it says that the work of leadership is to equip the saints to do the work of the ministry until we all attain, until we grow up into him. Into Christ. It's not just that we're growing in him. Look, it says we're growing up into him. What are you going to be when you grow up? I'm growing up into a manifestation of Jesus. That's God's vision for your life. Well, which gift of Jesus? No, not a sliver of him. I don't stay in my lane. He is my lane. Understand? So there might be some things that you're better at, especially to the start. But that's what equipping is for. That's what pursuing is all about. You want to hear God better? You can. It's already in you. Pursue it. You want to see healing come forth from your life? It's already in you. You want to speak in tongues? It's already in you. Amen? You want to prophesy? It's already in you. Now, For some, it could look stronger or maybe a little different. But here's the cool thing. All of the colors on the color in the Crayola box are already inside of you, and they're part of the picture that Jesus wants to paint through your life. There might be some colors that are more prominent in my painting than others, but they're all in there. And the painting that he paints through each one of you is entirely unique and glorious. There's not a single one of you that is a throwaway or a trade-in. You're not fixer-uppers. You're masterpieces by the hand of the Lord. Okay, I didn't get to near what I wanted to cover, so I'm glad we have a few days together. Starting tomorrow, we will be here at 2 p.m., so if you can be here in the afternoon, that would be great. We go from 2 to 5, and then also on Saturday, we have some daytime sessions, and so part of what we're going to do in those daytime sessions is have open interaction. So if you have questions, write those down. Try to get back to us so that we can have interaction with you guys about those things. And so I hope this was encouraging. I hope this was a blessing. I feel bad because I feel like I'm kind of... But can I give you an assignment? Your face fell like maybe, nope. Here's your assignment. Before we come back here, before you go to bed tonight, would you enter in to the Son and let the love that the Father is pouring out on the Son just come through to you? He's now a colander, right? He's filled with holes. He is. So that all the love that the Father's been pouring into him, you're now clothed with Christ. He can't tell the difference. He's included you in the Son's relationship with him. And you get to partake of that. Would you let the Father pull up to the banquet table and let the Father wash away all of that, oh, I'm unworthy. Oh, I can't. You can't love me this much. Let the Father love you as much as he loves Jesus. What does he say to you? What does it do in your heart? What needs to move away? What did you bring to the Father that the Father said, that's not coming in here? No, I don't care what happened out here. Nothing has ever changed. I created you for this. I foreknew you for this. I predestined you for this. I called you for this, and you're saying you're not worthy, but Jesus justified you for this, and you are glorious. So you're just going to have to get over it. I've made you my son, even if you're a girl. I get to be a bride. Amen? I'll probably have hair then. I'm figuring. Amen? So God bless you guys. Pastor Roger, welcome. Would you like to say anything? I don't think we did anything with the offering, so if you wanted to do any, give any instructions about that, you can. I don't know. All right. Bless you guys. Thank you so much. We'll see you back here tomorrow, 2 p.m., and then again at 7 p.m. in the evening. So we go to 2 to 5 and then 7 p.m.
Thank you. Thank you, Andy. I think since Andy was here a year ago in May, I've read every book that he's written, and, you know, it's amazing. After all these years, I'm 74 years old, but how we don't realize to what extent there are aspects of religion that still permeate our thinking. This is such a pure word, and I find that this message is just getting deeper and deeper into me, and so we've got to, you know, take every opportunity we can to take this message in and let it transform our lives, because it's going to, the truth is setting us free. You know, even before we can have unity, we have to have a knowledge of truth, and because otherwise we can't unify. But if we can get unified in the gospel, we can see communities transformed, and we can see the Spirit of God do a mighty, mighty work. So this is about equipping us into the work of the ministry. So I'm looking forward. I'm sorry I had to be away tonight, but I'll be here all day tomorrow and then Saturday, ending up on Sunday morning. Andy and Daniel are going to be in a couple of First Nations churches on next week, on Tuesday and Wednesday night. And in fact, on Sunday night, I think Andy will be sharing a little bit at the Lot Thunder meeting at the Winnipeg Convention Center, where there'll be hundreds of Native people there. So anyway, more seeds are going to be planted. The word is going to go out. And each year, we're going to get stronger in this message. So I encourage you to come out. Tomorrow, we will take offerings in the afternoon and evening, and we'll be splitting the offerings equally between Daniel and Andy. So let's just pray. Father, I thank you tonight for your word. Lord, that it'll accomplish everything that it declares it will, that we will not be people anymore that are ruled by our five physical senses, but we're ruled by the revelation of the Word of God. And I just thank you that each one that has come here tonight, Lord, I can just see from people that were here last time, I look at people like Bonnie back there and see how God's already using her to minister to others, Lord. This is what it's about, equipping us into the work of the ministry. Raise up many more like that. Let there be multiplication from this weekend that will spread to every part of our community. And we'll give you the praise. We'll give you the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Yeah, so thank you. We'll be back tomorrow at 2 o'clock and then again tomorrow evening at 7 o'clock. Amen.